For the Lord has given you the measure of faith. Faith is the currency of exchange between heaven and earth. By faith, all things become possible. By faith, you can please the Father. By faith, there's nothing that you can't do. For I've given you my faith. So have faith in me. Have faith in my word. Have faith in my power, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And like always, if you desire to give, you can give in the back there at the seed planter. There's envelopes there. You can make a check out to BCF. And God blesses the giver. Father, we just give you thanks and praise as you bless every gift and giver and multiply it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many are becoming better citizens of heaven? Right? Heaven is not a democracy or a republic. Heaven is a kingdom. And God said that He gave us the keys to His kingdom. All right? He's building a kingdom. And His kingdom centers around the King. It's the King and His domain, His rule, His influence, His power. All right? That's what God's kingdom is. And we've been talking about being a citizen of God's kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ on earth. So we talked about the location of the kingdom, right? We said it's near. The kingdom of God is at hand. We talked about how to enter the kingdom, okay? You enter it with faith, right? There's different things that you can do to enter the kingdom. Last week we talked about possessing the kingdom. You know, God can give you a promise and He can make everything ready for you, but you have to go and possess it, just like the promised land. He gave Israel land and He said, I've given it to you, but they had to go in and possess it. And tonight we're talking about making the kingdom of God your number one priority. Everybody say number one. All right? And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we just welcome you. And we greet you and follow along, and you will be blessed. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to take off for tonight. I'm going to work diligently to keep you within the time frame. But not to minimize the potency of what God wants to do. All right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He was talking about some things that Gentiles seek. In verse 33, He says, but seek what? First, the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness and all these things. He was basically talking about food, clothing, and shelter. All these things shall be, let's say shall be added unto you. So take therefore no thought for tomorrow. All right, if you've been thinking about tomorrow, stop. Okay? Don't be concerned about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God's kingdom, it must be sought after. It must be pursued. It must be caught. It must be aimed at. It must be followed after, and it must be strived for. He said it right here. Seek first, number one, the kingdom, right? And you can't have a kingdom without a king. So he's really talking about seeking the king and his righteousness, okay? His way of doing things. Did you know that God's got a way of doing things? And his ways are different than our ways. His ways are higher, right? But he comes and he shows us his way. Jesus said, I am the way. So you can never lose your way because Jesus is your way. All right? So God's kingdom must be sought, caught, pursued, aimed at, followed, and strived for. How many has ever fired a gun? You know, that gun does not hit a target unless you take aim. Now, if you have a shotgun, you might get lucky and hit something. Right? You know? But if you're going to fire a gun, you're going to have to take aim. You're going to have to look down that barrel. You're going to have to put the bead on the target. And you're going to have to exhale as you squeeze the trigger. See, I grew up with guns, so I know how to do that. But we've got to take aim at God's kingdom. Jonathan Edwards said this, the great preacher of the early 1700s, I think. He said, the seeking of the kingdom of God is the chief business in the Christian life. It is the chief business to seek the kingdom of God, to look for it, to go after it. How many's ever lost your keys? Right? What do you do when you lose your keys? You're looking everywhere. You're frantic. Why? Because you can't go where you want to go without your keys. Right? I got to find my keys. That's how we need to pursue the kingdom. I mean, if we're concerned about a set of keys, we ought to be more concerned about God's kingdom. And that's exactly how we ought to pursue it. All right? You might say this. The New Living Translation says, make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Primary concern. So, in other words, if the king wants you to do something and you've got laundry to do, what should have the greatest priority? Whatever the king wants, right? Your laundry can wait, but the king needs you now. Okay? That's what it means to put God first. It means you wanted to do something, but then God wants you to do something, and something's got to give. The Living Bible said this, give him first place in your life. Give the king the first place in your life. He ought to be the most important voice in your life. He ought to give you the best directions in your life. He ought to give you the greatest advice in your life. God's Word translation says, but first, be concerned about his kingdom. Be concerned about his kingdom first. You know, what you do first makes a whole lot of difference as to what will come next. Right? There's a thing called first responders. When they come to a scene, they're the first ones there. What they do first will determine what happens next. The Weymouth translation says this, make his kingdom and righteousness your chief aim. Your chief aim. Make it your chief aim. Go with me to Psalm 34:10. Did you know that there are benefits that God promises to give you if you seek first his kingdom? Psalm 34:10 tells us one. Psalm 34:10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that what? Seek the Lord shall what? Not want any good thing. You know, God promises those who seek him benefits. When your focus is God, God will take care of the rest of your life. He really will. See, because he wants your focus uninterrupted, undisturbed. He wants your focus to be to be like a laser beam, to be zeroed in on Him. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. He gives us some ways that we could seek God. Okay? Verse 1 says, "My son, if you will what? Receive my words." God's kingdom is, you know, when a king wants to do something, let's say a king wants to have a party, does he put on his overalls and starts getting out chairs? No, what does a king do? Come on. He makes a decree. He says words, right? He tells his servants, his employees, go do this, get this ready, prepare this. He sits on his throne, but we have to receive his words. His words make the difference. His words are life and spirit. His words are eternal. His word is forever settled in eternity. God doesn't have to change his words. His words created this universe, and his words keep this universe going. Okay, so verse 1, receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. God gave you the best hiding place for his words. You know what that is? It's your heart. Your heart is your safe for God's words. Okay? All right, verse number 2. Ways that we seek God. Incline your ear. You know, when you want to hear someone better, what do? You move closer. Right? You might put your hand up and you move closer. I'm inclining my ear. In other words, you're giving God your attention. Okay? Then he says, apply your heart to understanding. Did you know that the Bible is the most practical, applicable book ever written? You can actually apply what Jesus said to your life and start putting it into practice. You got to apply your hearts to understanding. Okay? Verse 3, if you cry after knowledge, what kind of wheel gets the most oil? The one that squeaks, right? Be a squeaky wheel in God's kingdom. Yeah, not annoying, but you're like a baby wanting milk, right? When a baby wants milk, what's the only thing the baby can do to let you know that they want milk? Wah! Right? When the parent hears that sound, they know that that baby wants something. God wants to hear your voice. You got to cry after knowledge. I want that, Lord. I want to know that. I want to know you. When you say that you want to know him, he'll reveal himself to you. Verse 4, we're talking about seeking God's kingdom, making God's kingdom the number one priority in your life. You could work for a company 40 or 50 years. Then what? You're retired. Then what? If you had your purpose with that company, now you're out of a purpose. But God's kingdom is eternal. God's kingdom will go on forever. It shall not have an end. So you better make your greatest investment into God's kingdom. Don't work for a gold watch. Work for God. He's got gold streets. So pure that they're clear. He's got a pearl for a gate. And the closer you get to him, the more valuable it becomes. All right? Verse 4. If you seek after her, now he's talking about seeking wisdom, but Jesus is our wisdom and he's our king. Seek her as silver. How do you get silver? Can you go outside and walk in our grass and find silver? I wish you could. Because I'd be out there. What do you got to do for silver? You got to dig. You got to blast. Right? You got to remove dirt. Well, our shovels are our tongue, and God's word is the silver mine. And you've got to dig to extract the silver out of the kingdom. And then search for her as treasures. Search, look for, seek out. Just like you lost your keys, and the way you seek after your lost keys, we need to seek after the kingdom of God. First. Seek first. Everybody say first. Don't make God number five on your priority list. If you do that, you won't receive the blessing. He's got to be first. Okay? You've got to go after his kingdom with the greatest of earnestness. Make it your principal thing in life. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun tonight. What do people tell Olympians? Olympic athletes, what do they tell them? Go for the what? Go for the gold. So an Olympic athlete spends 4 years training, exercising, running their whatever event they're in. They dedicate their life, don't they? They change their whole entire life. They hire a coach. They don't eat certain things. Why? Because they're going for the gold. But we can go for something greater than the gold. We can go for the gold maker. See, when you get the gold maker, you're going to have access to a whole lot more gold than just a metal. And just as much as an athlete dedicates their life to going for the gold, we ought to dedicate our lives to going for God. Luke chapter 12. Let's go to verse 31. Jesus basically says the same thing here, but he adds a few other things. He said, but rather seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to what? Give you the keys. God's saying here, I want to give you the keys. It's his good pleasure to give the keys. Who does he give the keys to? Huh? He gives his keys to seekers. Those who earnestly seek him. Those who diligently seek him. Right? Would you give the keys to your car to someone who's never been through driver's ed? Who's never got their license? Who's never learned the way? Would you give your car to them? No. Well, at least I hope you wouldn't. Why wouldn't you do that? Because they didn't spend the time seeking their skill. So they didn't qualify to receive the keys. But I'll never forget. I grew up in Illinois, and I got my permit. I had lots of driving time. And when I turned 16 on August 1st, I was down at the driver's ed place, and I got my license. And I had a sense of freedom come over me. I could drive without my parents. What a day that was. And to this day, when my parents come, I still drive them. It's true. When they're here, I'm driving, mostly. But do you see, your Father wants to give you these things. It's his pleasure. God's pleasure is to be believed. His pain is to be doubted. And it requires faith to please God. See, when you seek God, God takes care of you. You don't lose when you seek God. You actually gain. Isn't it awesome that you can put your time, your effort, and your energy into seeking God, and He takes care of the food, clothing, and shelter? I mean, think about it. When the Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness, the Bible says their clothes didn't wear out. Now, ladies might not be too happy with having the same fashion for 40 years, but isn't it awesome that their clothes didn't wear out? When they needed water, God provided them water. When they needed food, He sent it from heaven. He dropped sweet cakes from heaven called manna. He took care of them. Why? Because they were seeking Him for the most part. Not all of them were. Some of them had to die. They spent 40 years because people doubted God. And they had to wait for the doubters to die. Don't get yourself in a situation where God has... Listen, if you're going to kill doubt, kill it off quickly. Don't let doubt hang around for 40 years. And then you get to the point, where did those 40 years go? I don't know. Listen, get rid of doubt as quickly as you can and believe God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? See, faith is trusting God. Faith is taking Him at His word. Faith is doing what He says. That's faith. Okay? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must what? Believe He is, and believe what? That He will reward who? The diligent seeker. Now, if you don't know what diligence is, how many know what elbow grease is? It's not that you got oil on your elbow. It's extra effort, right? When your mom told you to clean something, put a little elbow grease into that thing, right? It's not grease, but it's the effort that you apply to doing God. You got to apply effort to seeking God. You have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Some of you have to leap out of a plane, spiritually speaking. You have to apply some effort to seek God. All right? Listen, God already sought you out. He changed His location from heaven to earth. He came to where we are. Now we have to seek Him. See, Christianity is not automatic. It's a free gift, but how many know that if someone gives you a gift, you still have to unwrap it, right? Go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. How many has ever waited in line for, let's say, a ticket at an event? How many enjoyed that time? Waiting in line. You know? You're feeling the pressure. Now, we'll wait in line for things that we want to do, but we don't want to take time to see God. I'll never forget, we live probably 3 miles from the Giant Center. And we went to see Benny Hinn at the Giant Center. And there was an outdoor concert plus Hershey Park. So all those people were gathered in one location. It took us two hours to get home, and we live 3 miles away. We got stuck in the parking lot trying to get out, and it took forever. I'm like, man, I could have walked home. But see, we just think of that as a slight inconvenience. But when God tells us to do something, oh, I don't want to do that. You mean I actually have to go to church regularly? I got stuff to do. No, you got a kingdom to seek. You got a king to get to know. Psalm 63. Are we having fun? Psalm 63, starting with verse 1. Oh God, whose God is he? You are my God. Listen, if God's not your God, you can make him your God tonight. He's like the old American Express commercial, don't leave home without him. Remember that? It was in the 80s, they always said about the American Express card, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without him. Oh God, you are my God. Notice this. What's that word? Early will I what? God, I'm not a morning person. You are if God wants you to be. If God makes an appointment for you in the morning, you know what? When God makes appointments, he doesn't ask you if you're a morning person or a night person. He just says, I want to meet you here at this time. Okay. Whatever time that is, that's the kind of person you are. Besides, you don't want to lock yourself in. Don't say you're a morning person because God may want to use you in the morning. And by your words, you are already putting yourself against that. You're putting limits on yourself by saying you're a morning person. Early. Everybody say early. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. When you're thirsty, what do? You go and you get something to drink. I'll never forget, I played football my freshman year in high school. And a week before practice actually started, we were doing doubles. That's two practices in one day because school hadn't started yet. And during those doubles, we ran a lot. And when we had a break, we would fill up our helmets with ice-cold water from a well. First of all, we'd dump it on our heads, then we'd drink from our helmets. And I know that you're thinking, oh, you drink from your helmets. Yeah, but when you're thirsty, you don't care what you drink out of. I'm telling you. You're so thirsty, you don't care. As long as it doesn't leak, as long as you can get some water. But it's how you go after it. That's how we have to go after God. Is your soul thirsty for God? If your soul's thirsty, then come and drink. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. Your flesh is your biggest enemy to seeking God. When I first came to God, I came out of a church that never raised their hands. And I went to a church that raised their hands. How many of you came out of a church that you didn't raise your hands? And then you came to a church that you raised your hands. How difficult was it for you to raise your hands? Right? But once you did it, it felt so good. Right? It felt so free. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. Notice, he's more concerned about seeking God than he is finding water in a dry and thirsty land. Why? If you find God, he'll give you water. He'll give you food. He'll give you shelter. He'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. He's a shelter to you. He'll protect you from the sun. Just like he did with Israel. He did it through a cloud and a fire. Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. We need some flesh longing for God to see your power. I don't know about you, but I have a burning desire to see his power. Our God is not dead. He's the almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent. There's nothing he can't do. And I want to see his power because he wants to show his power to us. And I want to see, it says, to see your power and your glory. But to see those things, you got to seek him. You got to go after him. So as I have seen. Notice, he's even seen it. And listen, the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is what? How many has ever tasted something good? Have you only eaten that thing once in your life? No, when you find something good, you keep going back to it. When you find a good restaurant, you keep visiting that restaurant. Why? Because you found something good. It's satisfying. And you keep going back to it. You keep going back to it. That's how we need to be with God. Seeing you in the sanctuary. Verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life. That word loving kindness is mercy. God's mercy is better than life. He is worth seeking. He's worth pursuing. He's worth going after. He's worth being uncomfortable for. The reward of seeking God is better than the cost of forsaking Him. It's greater. Verse 4. My lips shall praise it. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. His focus is on God. He's not ashamed to praise Him. See, as a small child, they're not ashamed to lift their hands up in the presence of their parents. That's a sign saying, I need you to hold me. I need you to hug me. I need you to love me. What they're doing when they lift their hands, they're seeking. And the parent reaches down, and they're seeking too, and they bring them close. That's what seeking does. Seeking God strengthens your connection with Him. Seeking God. We need to seek God's kingdom. When? First. Above all else. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see this here. Verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, what should you do? Seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. What's He sitting on? He's sitting on a throne. That means you're seeking the kingdom. If you've been raised with Christ, the seeking doesn't stop until He comes back home. The seeking doesn't stop until He returns. How long should you seek Christ? Your entire life. You shouldn't. Once you find them, you're not going to stop seeking Him. Because with Christ, you'll never get to the bottom of how good He is. So the more you seek Him, the more you're going to discover about Him that you didn't know. I mean, I've read scriptures 20, 30 times, and I've gotten something different out of each of those times. Like, wow! Now it clicks. Now I understand. The light turned on. It's like the refrigerator. You open the door and the light comes on. That's so convenient. You have to seek God with your whole heart. You have to seek God for what projects He wants you to do and be involved with. Noah, I want you to build a boat. What became Noah's principal thing then? Building a boat. You know how long it took him? 100 years. Bible says he was 500 when God spoke to him. It was 600 years when it rained. 100 years. How'd you like to build a boat for 100 years? Man, that's... Well, when you only got 6 employees helping you build an ark, it's going to take about that long time. Why did he have so few people helping him? Because everybody was wicked. There was only 8 people who were seeking God. Building that boat. But guess what? That project turned out to be the project to save mankind, didn't it? Turned out to be a pretty good project. Why God led him to do that project? God has a work for every one of you. Ephesians 2:10, it says you are God's workmanship. That word workmanship, it means masterpiece. Say, I'm a masterpiece. He created you and he put his signature on you and you're unique. Your print, there's not one set of prints in here that are the exact same. And God made a masterpiece for the master's work. And he wants us to be about the Father's business. Why? Because this life is going to pass. And what's next is eternity. So you better invest in eternity. It's like building for retirement. If you don't put any money aside and you work for 30 years, now you're retired. Now you don't have the income that you had because you didn't put it aside. You didn't prepare. You didn't invest. Don't become spiritually bankrupt at the end of your life, not having made any investment into the spiritual things. Go to Matthew 13, and then I'm closing. Matthew 13. See, there were all kinds of people that sought God. The centurion sought him because he had a sick servant. The centurion came out of his way to find Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, she dealt with the thing for 12 years until she heard of Jesus, and she stopped going to the doctors and she started to seek Jesus. Not that doctors are bad, but the doctors didn't solve the problem. The Bible said she spent all of her money and it grew worse. So she heard of Jesus. So she decided to go all in. And she sought Jesus. She crawled, made her way. She said, if I just touch the hem, she reached out and touched him. Boom! She sought, she got. Jairus, he was a ruler, a prominent man in society. He was prominent in the community. He didn't care about his title. He cared about his sick daughter who was near death. He knew that Jesus was the only answer, so he went out of his way to meet Jesus where he was. Because Jairus went out of his way, Jesus raised his daughter. See, there's benefits to seekers. See, when you seek God, he'll connect you with his power. How about the woman who was a sinner? Jesus was having dinner at a Pharisee's house and she showed up uninvited. And she starts crying and wiping his feet with her tears and drying his feet with her hair. And the host said, well, if Jesus was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this was. She sought him out. What did she get? She got forgiveness. She got forgiveness. You know what her name was? Her name was Mary. You know what happened to Mary? Her brother got raised from the dead. That was Mary of Bethany. She still kept seeking God even after that first encounter. Made the difference in her life. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hideth it, and for the joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You talk about an investment? Jesus is the treasure that was hid in the field. This man found it. He sold everything and bought the field. He made the investment. He said, this is my field. This is my treasure because I found this treasure. I sought for this treasure and I'm in it. And guess what? He got the treasure. Is Jesus worth that kind of investment? He sure is. There's no other way to heaven other than through Jesus. You can't get there by being a good person. If we could save ourselves, we would have never needed a Savior. If we could save ourselves, news reports would be getting better. But we know that that's not true. News is not improving, for the most part. It is in some things. But overall, there's a lot of bad news out there. That proves that man can't save himself. We need a Savior. You got to put your trust in the Savior. A true seeker is compelled to move close to the Lord. You disregard what people think. You don't care what people say. You don't care what people do. I'm getting that. Jesus, get out of my way. You're not going to stop me. A true seeker is compelled to draw close to the Lord. Are you that type of seeker? Or do you want the Lord to do everything for you? You're a Clint Eastwood Christian. Go ahead. Make my day. I'm here to see what you can do for me, Lord. No, that's not how it is. He already showed us what he could do by hanging on the cross and rising from the dead. He doesn't have to show us anything else. Now the ball is in your court. Now you got to be the seeker. You got to be like a heat-seeking missile, right? When they fire that missile, it could miss the target, but it comes back because there's a heat signature. And that missile zeroes in on the heat signature, right? And if they're firing at a plane, it zeroes in on the plane's engines until it hits the heat. We gotta seek until we hit the heat. The heat is the power of God. The heat is the anointing of God. The heat is the Spirit of God. Now you came here tonight. You probably didn't even know what you're getting into tonight. But God knew. He created an atmosphere. Jesus himself said this: I did not come to do my own will, but I seek the will of him who sent me. Even Jesus was a seeker of the Father. He didn't do anything or say anything without the Father's input. He sought the Lord. And guess what? He's our example. So I'm sure that there are some people here that came in tonight with needs. Maybe there's some people listening to us that have some needs. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Jesus is the answer. Whatever you need, he's got it. Whatever you desire, he's got it. Whatever you want, he's got it. Nothing compares to him. So if you're listening, Father, we're just going to pray for our listeners right now. Father, in Jesus' name, just cause their hearts to go after you, to pursue you like water. Lord, meet them where they are in the name of Jesus. If you need to know Jesus as Lord, just say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name, and you'll be saved. Amen.